of today's gospel. The gospel today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God we carry within us. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. I promise you I'm not going to tear a piece of cloth this morning, and I'm going to try not to hit the microphone. But God is still tearing open those heavens like he did last week and sending God down to come to visit with his people. Let's take a look first at Mark's gospel. You know, the first verse in there says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Wait a minute. The very next verse we find John in the wilderness. What happened to the visit to Elizabeth by an angel, the visit to Mary by an angel, the visit that Joseph and Mary being together and an angel telling Joseph, well, you know, don't divorce Mary before you've even married her. You know, what happened to the stable and the baby Jesus that we sing about that we're waiting for? They're not in Mark's gospel. Mark has an urgency about it in his writing. He wants to get right to the nitty-gritty of what this gospel is about. So by verse 9, we have a story about Jesus' baptism. By verse 12, we have Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And in chapter 1, verse 15, we find Jesus already beginning his Galilean ministry. Mark doesn't waste time with all of the stuff that comes before. But before Jesus came, there was John. And let's look at John a minute. John was sort of like an Old Testament figure. Some theologians think that Mark actually thought that John was the coming again of Elijah, because John kind of looked like Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 1, we hear them talking about the prophet Elijah. He wore clothes made of hair with a leather belt around his waist. And Ahaziah said, that was Elijah from Tishbe. And in Malachi chapter 4, there's also a prophecy about Elijah. Look, I am sending Elijah the prophet to you before the great and terrifying day of the Lord arise. Turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents. So Mark has a reason for thinking that maybe John the Baptizer really is the reincarnation of Elijah. Who knows? But still, Mark's message was that of Elijah. One of the reasons that Mark may believe that John the Baptizer is a reincarnation of Elijah is because Elijah didn't really die. At least that's not what's recorded in Scripture. And again in 2 Kings, we have the story of Elijah who was taken to heaven in a whirlwind and would return. But before we get to what John had to say, there was Isaiah, And Cliff read this morning the passage from Isaiah chapter 40. But even then, John wasn't quite quoting exactly that part of Isaiah. He was quoting actually from three different scriptures in the Old Testament. Now remember, Jesus was Jewish. All of the disciples were Jewish. So they knew what we now call the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. They were relying on those scriptures to be able to inform them about when this promised Messiah, this long promised Messiah, was going to come. So John, when he was quoting Isaiah, was also quoting from Exodus. And it reminds us, these scriptures remind us, that God is always sending a messenger. In Exodus 23, before the Hebrews get into the promised land, God says to them, "I am about to send a messenger in front of you on your way and to bring you to the place that I have made for you." And then, just before the exiled Israelites were able to return to Jerusalem, was this message that John partly quoted. Isaiah the prophet is saying to the exiles, probably still in captivity, but about to be released from Babylon, "A voice of one is calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight for him the path.'" And then in Malachi, which is probably a book that most of us don't very often read, after the Hebrews had returned from exile in Babylon and rebuilt the temple, they were just kind of getting into trouble again. And they wanted to reconsecrate the temple. But the Levitical priests, the priests that were there, were not blessed, were not clean enough, so to speak, to be able to perform their Levitical duties. So Malachi says this, is the message from God. "Look, I am sending my messenger who will clear the path before me. Suddenly, the Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you take delight is coming, says the Lord of heavenly forces." So God's love and God's desire for God's people went on all through the Hebrew Testament. And now we're in the season of Advent in 2023, and it's still going on. One of my favorite writers, because he writes often about Scripture, and his writing is understandable for me and for most people, unlike some theologians who write with really intellectual words that I always have to look up. Mark Allen Powell writes this about the voice of God. "Indeed, the voice of God in the Isaiah text has the character of a wounded lover." Did you ever think about God being that way? "God is desperate. 'I will come to my people and nothing will keep me from them. Mountains will be torn down, valleys will be filled in, rough places will be made smooth, whatever it takes.' It's hard, and it's hard when I read these words, and especially since Mark Powell put them in the writing he did, it's hard not to think of the Diana Ross song when we hear these words from Isaiah. "Ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough, ain't no mountain high enough to keep me from coming to you." These are God's words. Maybe they're 21st century God's words. Maybe that's what God is saying in here. I don't know. But the Israelites were hearing this. They were hearing this when they were coming out of the exile. Now, the context for John the Baptizer, of course, is not one of people coming out of exile, but it is the coming of the Messiah. And John is so urgent to get this message out, this message that the Messiah is coming. One greater than I is going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So come to me and repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, neither in the Isaiah passage nor in the John passage Is there a message? Well, there's a little message of warning in both of those passages, but that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is that God is coming, that that this amazing God, this wonderful God, this caring God, this God of compassion has a love for God's people. And if you listen to the last words of the Isaiah passage, God is described as a shepherd. And in the middle of that passage, we're promised that God's word endures forever, that even though humanity, like grass, will wither and die, God's word, God's promises will endure forever. In John, it's the same way. John is saying, Jesus is coming. This long-promised Messiah is coming to save God's people. So I have to quote Powell again, and he says this, "When John the Baptist shouts, 'Prepare the way of the Lord,' it is as though God has just called a game of hide and seek. And the seeker is God, and he's saying, 'Ready or not, here I come.' In the hustle and bustle of Advent and Christmas, are we ready? Are we hiding from God? And even though God says, 'Ready or not, here I come,' don't we want to be ready because we are filled with God's love in response to God's love? I was thinking about that the other day. Sometimes we seem to hide because we get busy baking cookies or wrapping gifts or buying Christmas presents or going to chorale concerts or, you know, dance recitals and all that kind of stuff. Do we ever take time to be with God? And I know our lives are busy and we have a lot of responsibilities. Many of us, especially if we're parents or grandparents or have family that come to visit. But when you're writing those Christmas cards, take a moment as you address the envelope to think about who you're addressing that to. It takes 10 seconds to say, as you are addressing this, "God bless Noreen." She's sitting there this morning. "God bless Noreen in this coming year." Or, "God bless Michael in this coming year." Or, "Be with someone who you know has been sick. God, be with this person and heal them in this coming year." That takes even less than 10 seconds to say that prayer. The same when you're baking cookies and you're wrapping them up and you're going to give them to somebody. God bless the person who gets these cookies. God's love can be baked into cookies. When you're wrapping a present, wrap God's love in the bow in the wrapping you're doing. I have one more question. In that hustle and bustle of Advent and Christmas, do we miss out on the peace that comes from finding comfort in God's words? And I know that peace and comfort aren't necessarily the same thing. One can find peace in knowing that God is looking for us and coming to meet us. In fact, actually, God is already in our midst. And has been. God is here in the midst of joy and is in the midst of sorrow. And God always comes to comfort us, whether we're happy or sad. So I want you to consider when we're singing the next hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," the story of Horatio Spafford, who wrote this hymn in 1873. After suffering many, many traumatic events in his life. There was an economic downturn, the Chicago fire, so he almost went bankrupt. He was sending his wife and four daughters to England to be part of an evangelistic tent meeting, I think. I can't remember who it was with, but it was one of the evangelists from the 1870s. And they, of course, were going on that time on a boat, on a steamer, I suppose, that was hit. And his four daughters died. His wife survived. So he was going to England, traveling to England across the ocean to meet with his grieving wife. And he found these words of comfort. And the song starts like this: "When peace like a river, upholds me each day. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I hope for all of you that you will find moments of peace during this Advent season. And always remember, ready or not, God is on his way, and this God always finds us. Amen.